KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Good morning, I'm Riley Smith with a check of the latest news at KJAN. At the top of the news here this hour, the 18th annual Cass County Relay for Life was a big hit on Friday night at the Atlantic High School track. A large crowd gathered to celebrate survivors, remember those they have lost, and fight back against cancer on what turned out to be a beautiful night in Atlantic. Relay Day was kicked off with a tractor ride that included 37 tractors that left from the Cass County Fairgrounds at 9 a.m. and returned in the afternoon to Sunnyside Park. The Windbags and UCC Riders motorcycle team had another great ride as well that started in the noon hour at the Atlantic City Park and wound down at the Survivor's Dinner at the high school. The Survivor Dinner was held at 5 p.m. at the Atlantic High School Commons with a meal provided by Atlantic IV. That meal was followed by the opening ceremonies on the track and the Survivor's Lap, honoring all those that have won or are battling their fight against cancer. The event featured a wide variety of entertainment, food, games, and fun. Entertainment was provided by Sheltered Reality Drumline, Zumba with Allison Knox Westmeyer, and performances by Villa Dance students. Food was available from the Atlantic Kiwanis, Troublesome Creek Barbecue, and Cotton Candy from the Lewis Life Preservers team. Kids' games were provided by National Honor Society students, and a bounce house was available courtesy of the Nishna Valley Family YMCA. Fundraising was a huge success, with end-of-the-night totals at $71,958.37 raised, with more funds still expected to come in. The Relay for Life committee would like to thank everyone who helped make Relay 2016 a great success in Cass County. Cass County Sheriff's Deputy Josh McLaren told KJN News late Friday night that one person was in custody at the Cass County Jail, charged with domestic abuse assault following an incident that took place a few hours earlier in Messina. McLaren said at around 8:02 p.m., Cass County Communications received a call from the Des Moines Police Department with regard to a domestic situation in Messina. Shortly thereafter, the Communications Center received a 911 call from Messina. Dispatchers were able to ping the cell phone to determine a general area where the incident took place. McLaren and Deputy Ryan Johnson responded. Eventually, the residents were contacted. An adult male and adult female came out of a residence. The female was distraught and advised an altercation had taken place with her boyfriend. At that time, the boyfriend was inside the home with a minor child. The deputies went inside the home and located the child and gave the child to its mother. They then repeatedly tried to make contact with the boyfriend but were unable to do so. The communications center advised deputies the subject might be armed. Therefore, the deputies left the home and requested assistance from other law enforcement officers. Deputies from Adair, Adams, Montgomery, Pottawatomie, and Shelby counties, along with the Iowa State Patrol, all responded to the scene and set up a perimeter. Midwest MedAir was also notified and were en route in case they were needed, but they were subsequently canceled. The male subject was seen by a family member going to an apartment in Messina, but a search revealed he was not there. He was later seen traveling on foot toward the Messina sale barn, and while the search efforts were concentrated at the area, a short time later it was learned the subject was inside another residence occupied by a female. The deputies arrived and took the man into custody without incident a little after 10 p.m. He was unarmed. A weapon was recovered after the original residence. From the original residence once the scene was secured. The unidentified man was brought to the Cass County Jail. Additional charges are possible. Authorities utilized the Cass County Wireless Emergency Notification System to notify residents in Messina of the situation. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office reports a Carroll County man was arrested following an investigation into a burglary that took place Wednesday. 46-year-old Carrie Lee Huffman of Carroll faces charges that include burglary in the third degree and criminal mischief in the second degree. Officials say employees at Sparky's One Stop in Bayard arrived at work to discover several ceiling tiles had been broken out, as if someone was climbing around in the ceiling. Surveillance video revealed a man entered the store at around 9:30 p.m. Tuesday. He entered through the restroom and climbed up through a false ceiling, where he waited for the store to close before committing a burglary. The investigation involved a search warrant being executed at a residence in Bayard, where Huffman was staying. The chairpersons for the Cass and Audubon County Community Foundations, both countywide community foundations, have announced that the Fall Grant Program is now beginning for nonprofit organizations in the separate respective counties. The deadline to apply for funds through the online grant application process is September 1st. In Cass County, $27,800 was allocated for the fall grant cycle. In Audubon County, $39,000 is available. Of the Cass County funds, $2,500 is from the Grizzle Community Development Endowed Fund, and $500 is from the Triumph Endowed Fund for Cass County. Of the funds available in Audubon County, approximately $2,000 comes from the Leon and Iva Milliman Endowed Fund for the Exira area, $2,500 is from the Charles T. and Kathleen K. Manon Endowed Fund, $650 is from the Audubon State Bank Stephen Garst Endowed Fund, $1,000 is for the City of Audubon from the Audubon Masonic Association Endowed Fund, $450 is for the City of Audubon from the Fred and Evelyn Nissen Endowed Fund for Audubon, and another $450 is for the City of Audubon from the Merle and Norma Peterson Endowed Fund. In both counties, foundation grant dollars will be awarded for a single year. The mission of the Community Foundation Grants and Programs is to participate in funding community betterment projects and nonprofit organizations who have similar objectives. The goals are to improve the quality of life in the county by supporting needs that are not being met in the areas of civic, cultural, health, education, and social service. The objective is to fund projects that will have a permanent impact for the counties that people can take advantage of for many years. Only organizations providing services in Cass County or Audubon County are eligible in their respective counties only. They must be able to demonstrate broad community and county support and supply a copy of their 501c3 IRS determination letter. Requests for general operational funds will not be considered. The mission is to provide funds for those nonprofit and governmental agencies that are involved in community betterment through their organizations. Officials with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said Friday the city of Oneida has received a water quality improvement loan amounting to $1.6 million for drinking water source and treatment improvements. Oneida, along with 22 other Iowa communities, will be able to move water quality projects forward with the support of a combined total of more than $40.4 million in low-cost water quality loans. The city of Mount Air in Ringgold County received $900,000 for sewer treatment improvements, and the city of Walnut in Pottawatomie County received $170,000 for drinking water planning and design. Financing is made possible through construction and planning design loans through the State Revolving Fund. Construction loans are a low-cost construction financing option available for Iowa cities and municipalities for water quality initiatives. Planning and design loans are 0% loans that assist with the first phase of project expenses. The Iowa Finance Authority, or the IFA, and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources jointly administer the State Revolving Fund in Iowa. IFA Executive Director Dave Jameson says, "The Iowa Finance Authority is committed to enhancing the quality of life for Iowans, and one way we do this is by providing communities with access to affordably maintain and update water systems. The State Revolving Fund provided low-cost financing for water quality infrastructure improvements benefiting 1 million Iowans in last fiscal year alone." Iowa DNR Director Chuck Gipp says, "The State Revolving Fund plays a vital role in advancing water quality improvements throughout Iowa. The recent awardees joined more than 500 other Iowa cities in recognizing the State Revolving Fund as their best choice for financing of their water quality initiatives." The State Revolving Fund has awarded Iowa communities and municipalities with more than $2.5 billion in construction loans and nearly $150 million through planning and design loans since the program's inception. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency provides annual capitalization grants to states. Leverage bonds and loan payments expand the reach of the federal investment. More than $3 in assistance has been leveraged for Iowa water quality projects for every $1 of federal funds. Officials with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said Friday red dye poured into a storm sewer in Clarinda has reached a tributary of the West Nottoway River in Page County Thursday. A local resident noticed the bright red water flowing into the tributary Thursday evening and notified the Department of Natural Resources. Environmental specialists for the DNR did not find any dead fish in the tributary. Water samples have been collected for analysis to determine potential impacts to the stream. During the investigation, the DNR determined that an employee with Clarinda Co-op, located on First Street, rinsed a jug of color coat red, a dye used in the treatment of soybeans, in a storm sewer outlet. The Clarinda Police Department assisted with the investigation of the spill and helping identify the source. The city of Clarinda is working to identify storm sewer connections to determine if any other parts of the system may have been affected. The DNR is continuing to investigate the incident and will consider enforcement action if appropriate. As we take a look at the obituaries for the funeral report this morning, we have Marsha Weiss, 63, of Anita, died Wednesday, June 22nd, at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Marsha Weiss will be held today at 10:30 a.m. in the United Methodist Church in Anita. Huckleberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Nancy R. Altz, 68, of Atlantic, died October 26th at Atlantic Specialty Care in Atlantic. Memorial services for Nancy R. Altz will be held today at 11 a.m. in the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Huckleberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Geneva I. Crowell, 87, of Chandler, Arizona, formerly of Audubon, died November 7, 2015, at Desert Springs Care Center in Chandler, Arizona. Celebration of Life Memorial Graveside Services for Geneva Crowell will be held Monday, June 27th, at 10 a.m. in the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Bethine Beth Leff Alberts, 85, of Stewart, died Wednesday, June 22nd, at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Beth Alberts will be held Monday, June 27th, at 10 a.m. at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Merle Schaefer, 89, of Greenfield, died Wednesday, June 22nd, at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Merle Schaefer will be held Monday, June 27th at 11 a.m. at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Isaiah M.R. Pedrin, 7, of Curtis, Michigan, formerly of Audubon, died Friday, June 24th. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Isaiah Pedrin will be held Tuesday, June 28th at 4 p.m. in the Shelter House at Albert the Bull Park in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. And Sadie Wiesack, 102, of Atlantic and formerly of Adair, died Friday, June 24th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Sadie Wiesack will be held 10 a.m. Friday, July 1st at St. John's Lutheran Church, north of Adair. Huckleberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. That's a check of the latest news on KJAN. Sports is next.